the first story of creation. In the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Then we move to chapter 2 of Genesis, the second story of creation. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant was of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And now as Jan read the first ending of the Gospel of John. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And then the second ending to the Gospel of John. John writes, "This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did, and if every one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Don't you love springtime in the Rockies? The crazy, inconsistent weather tells us that it is springtime. And springtime also means that we are in the Easter season of the church calendar year. Easter season begins right here in the shadow of the cross, and we move then to the empty tomb. And Jesus appeared to his disciples, first to the women, then to his disciples, and then Paul tells us he appeared to more than 500. And for 40 days, he taught and taught, did marvelous acts, and taught some more. 40 days, the gospel tells us, that he appeared and was with his disciples teaching. And then on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And the Easter season continues for 10 more days. First chapter of Acts tells us the apostles, the disciples, all the disciples, not just the 12, but all the disciples stayed close to each other. And they sang hymns, and they prayed, and TCB, they took care of business for 10 more days. And then day 50, day of Pentecost, the Easter season ends, and we begin Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The Holy Spirit roars through their midst where they are gathering like an out-of-control freight train, and tongues of flame itself come upon the apostles and the disciples, and they realize they have gifts and talents they never imagined. But as Jan was telling us, this we know is not the first encounter of the Holy Spirit. We remember Easter night. They were locked in the room, locked themselves in. They can't go anywhere. And the resurrected Christ comes and he breathes the gift of the Holy Spirit upon them. "As I have been sent, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on them the gift of the Holy Spirit. After he gives them this original gift, he stays with them for 40 days. And prepares them to be sent, to go out to all the world and make disciples. He doesn't breathe the gift of the Holy Spirit on them and says, good luck, gang. I'll see you soon. He prepares them. He taught, did marvelous signs. He taught, did marvelous signs, and taught some more. And if everything he did and taught were written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that were written. I believe that the part of this teaching that Jesus gives us, that this 40 days in part were filled with teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I go back to John chapter 14 for my support. At the Last Supper, the most important time there is in the life of the disciples, and Jesus' crucial time is here, he spends so much time teaching about the Holy Spirit. And I believe much of this voluminous teaching that he gives us during the Easter season had to be about the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend the rest of our Easter season right through Pentecost Sunday with the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit for us? Who is the Holy Spirit for our church? Who is the Holy Spirit in this world? How has the Holy Spirit breathed upon us? Make us the sent people of God. Make us the ones who go out to all the world making disciples. Did you ever see the movie or read the book, The Shack? Now, some of you say, oh, that's a great book. I don't care whether you liked it or not. I really don't. What resonated with me, though, in the book was the portrayal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is someone who leads us, guides us, is with us. We breathe the breath of the Spirit, yet we can't quite get the Spirit into focus, can we? We can't quite touch the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is life, it is vital, and yet we can't quite get there or understand the Spirit. And that's right from in the beginning. In the beginning, God. All the way through Revelation, the Bible affirms and celebrates and depends on the Holy Spirit. Yet we can't quite get our arms around the Spirit. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. And the Ruach of God came upon the waters. That's a hard word to translate. That's a Hebrew word that's really hard to translate. The Ruach. My Bible decided to call it the wind. Other Bibles call it breath. Other Bibles call it a mighty wind of God. Then we go to Genesis 2, and again, we have the breath of God breathing into the Adam and breathing into humanity. Then pneuma, the breath. Again, we can't quite get a hold of this word. Breath of life, God's breath, the breathed life. Then we move in through the Bible, through the historical books, where the Spirit of God is present. The Spirit of God is always present. But depending on the context, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit comes upon King Saul and King David, they are able to do mighty acts, mighty works. When the Spirit of God comes upon Elijah and Isaiah and the prophets, they are able to speak for God. The Spirit of God gives them words. And moving into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Spirit of God is said to be like a dove. And the dove descends upon Jesus Christ at his baptism. And the dove descends upon us. And John 14 is still working at getting a firm hold of this Spirit. Jesus promises that when he leaves, he will send his Paracletus. He will send the Paraclete. Now, your Bible is going to have a different word for Paraclete than my Bible and from the Bible of the person sitting with you at the table. We can't get a grasp of this word. My New Revised Standard Version did the smart aleck thing, calls it Paraclete. That's easy. But other translations, helper, friend, comforter, intercessor, Counselor, Companion, Advocate. We're going to spend much of the rest of our Easter season examining this one word and how the Holy Spirit of God breathed into us, with whom we live and move and have our being, is all of this in our lives, in our church, in our world. Today, though, I want you to really hear that we are surrounded by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and surrounds the whole Bible. The Holy Spirit surrounds and leads and guides all of our lives, every second of our lives. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and surrounds all existence. The Holy Spirit wraps the Holy Spirit's self around all creation. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend all the way to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the deepest, darkest place, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand hold me fast. And if I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. O God, you search me and you know my heart. You test me and you know all my thoughts. And if there's any wickedness in me, lead me to the way that is everlasting. The Holy Spirit guides and leads and is surrounding us always, always there. We are surrounded by the Holy Spirit like Peyton Manning is in the pocket with 6 300-pounders around him. We are surrounded by the Holy Spirit like concrete and wood and steel surround us when tornadoes and bomb hurricanes come to pass. We are surrounded by the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like we're surrounded by family and friends and loved ones and thoughts and prayers and food in times of crisis. The Holy Spirit of God surrounds us. In our sanctuary, where we are worshiping right this minute, testifies that we are surrounded by the Holy Spirit. I've said it 3 times already. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and surrounds and gives us the Bible. Our very pulpit, there's the Holy Spirit descending upon our worship. We move to the font, and when we pray a prayer of thanksgiving over the font at times of baptism, we invoke, we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us and use these waters. And we invoke the name, the blessed name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in every baptism. In our communion table, our panel shows the gift of the Holy Spirit descending upon us in the waters of baptism. And then as we move behind the table, we use another funky word. I didn't just say funky, did I? We use another difficult word, the epiclesis. We ask that the Lord God call down, and we even make the gesture. Even the most reformed of us make this gesture. Make the Holy Spirit come down upon us and upon these gifts to make them the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we share with every people of every time and every place. Holy Spirit, come down. First time I ever stepped in the sanctuary, I was stunned that we are surrounded by the gift of the Holy Spirit. I felt the Spirit in you. I felt the Spirit working in me. And I look up at the walls and I see the Holy Spirit hovering over us in our worship service. These banners are the nonverbal affirmation that the Holy Spirit of God is in our midst. These banners symbolize that the Holy Spirit, this dove of the Holy Spirit, is with us, constantly reminding us, hovering over us, showing us that we have the breath of life in this sanctuary and is our constant companion. My favorite definition of parakletos, the paraclete, and I use it way too often, I know that, and you've heard me say it many times, is one who walks behind us, got our back. The Holy Spirit got our back and sometimes is pushing us. The Holy Spirit is one who walks before us, leading and guiding the way. Even the dark is not dark to you. And the Holy Spirit is our companion, that one who walks with us, kind of holding us up sometimes, kind of giving us the elbow sometimes. The Holy Spirit of God is with us in every aspect of our being. And that's what these banners tell us. The Holy Spirit is with us when we study the Word, the Bible. And as we study the Word, the Bible, we take that good news and we share it with the world. We keep the faith and pass it on. That's what this banner symbolizes. This third banner symbolizes that the Holy Spirit is with us and that we are doing what God tells us to do. We are doing what is right with God and right with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God leads us and guides us in all of that. And the Spirit of the living God is here in leading and guiding in worship, in word and sacrament, in prayer and thanksgiving, in song. The Word of God is with us, leading and guiding us. I love this one. The sword of righteousness. Isn't that cool? The sword of righteousness. The Holy Spirit has made us right with God. And having now been right with God, we are told to do the right thing and don't count the cost. Go to battle for the people of God and for God. And this banner is very simple. It's got a really long definition. But the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to live like children of God, to show the world how children of God are and live into it. That's what this banner is. It's all so cool. The Holy Spirit is with us in our prayers, in our individual prayers. No doubt the Holy Spirit is here with us. And as we gather as the body of Christ, the church, the Holy Spirit is living and breathing and moving in each one of us as individuals. And as we gather in the body of Christ, in this sanctuary, we don't just bring ourselves, we bring all those people who are in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit of God is with us and with all those people we bring into worship this morning. Have you ever heard the old saying, those who sing pray twice? I love that thing. The Holy Spirit of God is with us in our music leaders, in our praise and worship. The Holy Spirit of God is in this world, in this galaxy, in this universe. The Holy Spirit of God, I want you to hear this. The Holy Spirit of God is in the body of Christ we call Covenant Presbyterian Church. The Holy Spirit celebrates with us, comforts us, guides us, leads us, shares our joy, surrounds us with blessings, blesses our worship, blesses our communion, blesses us forever and always. The Holy Spirit is here. And our doors open out because we are to take the Holy Spirit into the world. We are the sent people of God. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Go out and make disciples of all nations. The Holy Spirit helps us to live so that others may know that the Spirit is hovering around in and through this world. We get prayed up here at church. We worship, we sing, we praise, we are nourished by word, by the Bible and the sacrament. So that others, not just for our sake, so that we can get out of here. And others may know the saving love of Jesus Christ, the risen in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly God, in whom we live and move and have our being, in whom the Spirit is breathing with us, in whom we sing your praises as the Spirit of the living God, we praise you and thank you for being God in our lives, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you for this gathering of the saints in light. Saints doesn't mean we're perfect, Lord. Saints means we believe and really want to work and be in you. Lord, Heavenly God, we praise you and thank you for the gift of the word, for the gift of fellowship, for the gift of prayer, for the gift that you give us now in this sacrament. We pray that your Holy Spirit come upon us and I and these gifts, that we may become one with all who live and celebrate this faith, that these gifts may become for us the body and blood of the living, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you have heaped upon us this day, especially the gift of the Holy Spirit hovering over us and through us and with us, pushing and holding up and leading and guiding and walking right next door. We praise you, Lord, in the holy and life-giving name of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.